fathers bless sons, but of course it's parents bless children. And so what we have here is an example of where God as our father is blessing children, or in one specific case here, is going to bless David. And Isaiah 40 says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. David, at this point, when we come to him, he's in a state of flux. He's really in danger of stepping over the line. I believe genuinely he started off by wanting to honor God in his mind, but maybe in his heart, he's trying to do God a favor. And I've come across a variety of people who've come with this sort of attitude. It's sort of thing like they're helping God out, like God's incapable of doing something without a particular person's role or a job within their kingdom. And I want to disabuse you of that notion quite quickly. God copes just fine without any of us, but he privileges us by allowing us and inviting us into joining with his kingdom and partaking within it. Eugene Peterson says about this particular passage as a warning, if any of us develop a self-identity in which God's actions are subordinate to ours, we find our king work is ruined. So if you think that God should be doing what you're asking him to be doing, if you think that God could help you out in your ministry, if you think if only God would listen to you and do the various things, then your ministry would just take off, then really you're missing the point of what it means to serve the King and the mighty majesty of God. See, the big danger for David is that, is he going to end up like all the other kings that the nations around the Jewish nation already have? The type of king which sees divinity as something to be managed to achieve their goals. The type of king which only acknowledges God or does what the divine being says when it helps them. The type of king that unfortunately Saul demonstrated he was. Having had 40 years of Saul reigning, God needs David to be the type of king which points to what the kingdom of God is all about. The people need to see what God's kingdom will look like. And what David needs to do is spend his time helping the people reframe who God is within their mind and on what God was doing in their life, not on what God was planning to do. Sorry, not on what David was planning to do. And this is the danger. We can get distracted with our own ministries. We can get distracted with the things that we think we should be going. And so David starts off, it's a great idea. I think we should build a massive place and we should put the Ark of the Covenant inside it. And initially, of course, when Nathan hears all of this, he thinks it's a great idea as well. But he goes about and prays about it and listens to what God says and then comes back and challenges the king. Now, that challenge is actually quite courageous. In virtually every ancient Near East culture, when you were crowned king, it also was assumed you became divine. And this is what happened when the kings and queens, or the pharaohs as they were known in Egypt, ascended to the throne. They were also known as being divine. We see that later on carried on around. And so whenever you're challenging a king, in most of these cultures, you're perceived to be challenging a divine being. In Roman times, Caesar was called God's son. In Roman times, Caesar was called savior. Both of the titles that Jesus used about himself, directly challenging the authority of Rome. In Acts chapter 12, we have this recorded. Now, Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So they sent a delegation to make peace with him because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. The delegate won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It's the voice of a god, not of a man." And so this is what happens in their culture, that they instantly say, this is who he's divine, he's, and they attribute all this sort of stuff to the kings. Well, the Bible continues, this is what happens next. Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. David, at this point, is in a great danger of stepping over the line. And what we see here is, using Nathan, that God stopped David. And probably even more importantly, David let himself be stopped by God. And this is not to be taken lightly, because you often come up across people who are building their own kingdom. And sadly, we've seen pastors throughout time and eternity, but it's just happening often and often at the moment, that they're building huge denominations, but actually they're corrupt inside and there's problems carrying around them. But they won't listen to people. They won't be guided. They won't be stopped by God. And so we need to challenge ourselves at all times to, first of all, understand if we've been given gifts by God, are we using them honestly for his kingdom? Are you putting yourself in a position when it's not about you? But really, it should always be about God's glory and God's kingdom. That's the first challenge. Now, what I want to do is just have a look at how Jesus helps us out on this. And to this, I'm going to turn to a program called Total Wipeout. Our family enjoy Total Wipeout. It's an English program where people try to get across this horrendously dangerous course and silly course and get knocked over. And I'm just going to see if we can share a bit of that. Here we go. This is a bit of Total Wipeout. As you can see, Total Wipeout is a fairly odd sort of thing, but you have this huge course where people try this. And of course, they're falling off all sorts of places and all sorts of things like this. And it is good fun and people know what they're getting into. And generally what they do is before they start is they give a talk about who they are and how they're going to conquer this course. And we all sit in fun anticipation of watching where they'll fall off or get creamed or whatever else it is. And it's quite hilarious. But occasionally, people manage to get across the course. And some do it quite spectacularly. They never do it perfectly, but they do get across and do it well. And it catches you off guard. And sometimes you look at this and you think, oh, if I had a go at that, I could do it. Until, of course, you try the reality of these situations and realize that just one foot wrong, you slip off one of these floating things or someone throws something at you and you get knocked sideways. And in fact, if you were going to do this course, getting a perfect 100 would be impossible. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus got a perfect 100. Jesus came and he came and he declared in Mark that the kingdom of God is at hand. It says that the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. That's what Jesus said. And there's a couple of things to take from this. The first one is that Jesus declared exactly what he was going to do. He was going to enunciate the kingdom of God. He was going to state what the kingdom of God was. And then he went on through his entire life on earth to not only continue enunciating that, but to demonstrate it as well. And there's one thing to say a thing, there's next to actually live it through. And just like when you approach this weird course where things can knock you or go all over the place, and you and I would walk onto it and fall off and trip, someone comes along and just conquers the course. And you and I live a life where we're tripping over sins or someone's throwing something over as we slip and fall down and we get it wrong. But Jesus never did. Not only did he enunciate the kingdom of God, he lived it out. And he stated clearly what it was, and never let anyone tell you that Jesus wasn't in about judging people. He was. He basically said, repent of your sins and believe the good news. If there's got to be repenting, there's got to be an actual standard which God is holding us to. And despite many, many people trying to challenge that standard nowadays and say, oh, that's not really what the Bible means, we've got to stay firm and realize that God has a very exacting standard, and he means us to be held to that. But he understands that when we fail on that, that Jesus steps in. And we should be extremely excited about that, because whilst David has now been warned and said, listen, I don't want to go building something for me, because that will distract from what I'm trying to do for you, David. I'm trying to build through you so people can see my kingdom. That's what we have now, David. This is what your life is now about. And David does that very, very imperfectly. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus comes along and enunciates the kingdom of God, tells us what it's about, and then goes on to keep talking about it. He says on his manifesto of the kingdom, which is found when he gives his Sermon on the Mount, he talks about what I will call paradoxical people, where we find people who have the inner spirit of the kingdom, citizens of the kingdom, and their values are just directly contrasted to the world's values. And so just in the same way that we might think, oh, I'll go build this or do that, actually God challenges us and says, well, that's not what I'm about. What I'm about is doing things gently and quietly and humbly. What I'm about is showing people what it means to have love and mercy. And it's sometimes in many of our lives to say, actually, I realize you stuffed up, but, you know, my grace is sufficient for you and I will overcome that. And so he challenges us to become witnessing people, that we will live as salt and light in the world. And we, just like David, have opportunity for God to work through us to show God's kingdom. And we have this beautiful blessing. While David was working on an imperfect system, David only had himself, we actually have not only Jesus' perfect example, but Holy Spirit living within us to allow that life of Jesus to flow through us. Jesus makes it clear when he gives this manifesto on the Mount that being part of the kingdom of God is more than just words, it's actions as well. He talks about the spirit of the law and reconciliation. He tells us that's what we're meant to be about. He challenges on the way we do things about, say, adultery or lust and how it's redefined. He redefines us on what it means to approach divorce and the spirit of marriage. He challenges again what it means to be truthful and loving. And in all of these things that Jesus does, it's recorded in Philippians, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So that's the first challenge. It says that we must develop the same attitude that Christ Jesus had towards how he not only proclaimed the kingdom, but demonstrated the kingdom. And of course, it goes on to say, this is the attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave. And was born as a human being, and when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the perfect living demonstration of what the kingdom of God means to be within a human person's life. And whilst David was challenged and told effectively, just pull your head in, let me show you, because what I'm doing is I'm going to bless you. And the part we didn't read in 2 Samuel 7 was the response that David had. And David goes back and praises God and reflects back on his life to say, who was I that you decided to call me? Who was I that you decided to bless me? What have I done to deserve all of this? I'm just nobody, and you've now made me king of all Israel. When Jesus gives his manifesto on the Mount, he concludes it by saying, this is the Lord's Prayer. Someone said, in the Our Father, Jesus teaches us to ask. God is meant to provide. And he's meant to provide because he is God. He is inexhaustible. And so what we've got to understand is part of this relationship we have with God is that God takes care of us. We're not to take care of him. He will bless us, because we should all understand, and hopefully we understand from experience, that our parents blessed us. I know that's not always the case. I do understand that's not always a perfect world. But that's the way it's meant to be, that parents bless children. And sometimes we understand that parents bless children. And when parents bless children, that's great. And there's a reverse that as they get older, we understand that we will take care of our parents. And the reason is because we're human and there's frailty and there's a right thing to be doing that. And we get that. But Isaiah says about God, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Why? Because God's strength is inexhaustible. So whilst with our own human parents, there's a time where we will take care of them, with our Father in heaven, he always can take care of us. He always has ability to bless us. He is inexhaustible and lovingly wants to do that. We should know that God wants to bless us. We should know that God wants to give us things. And yes, we can use those to reveal his kingdom. But we should be willing to ask. And the Our Father says, ask. Ask of God and just watch what he does. See how he blesses you. So just a few thoughts as I come to the conclusion. Our lives are meant to be committed to the statement, basically, that God reigns. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to demonstrate that God reigns through Christ. And so we've got to look and say, well, what does that sovereignty of God look like in my life, in our life as Altona Baptist Church? How do we give witness and visibility and representation to what God is doing in our life? Could you look back and say, God's moved in this life, God's moved here, and are you proclaiming that? Are we expecting to be blessed, and are we asking for blessing from God? You do not have because you do not ask, says the word. Well, let's ask. Let's ask blessing not just for ourselves, but for our community of faith. Let's ask blessing for the people around us. And when that blessing comes, how do you use it? How do you use it to bless others? I'm always delighted when I find, people get new homes. And went to a friend of mine's new house. And when they first got it, and the first thing they put up on their doorway is, this house belongs to the Lord. And I've watched many, many times as people have been invited in and warmly been blessed by that, because they were given a house and they extended its hospitality. And that's just a great way to see that happening. So when we realize that our Father blesses us, how do we react? What does the kingdom of God mean to you? How are you expressing it? How are you demonstrating it? Which parts are you letting God work through you to show and help reframe who God is in other people's minds, as God used David to do? And I'm just going to conclude here by reading the Our Father. So feel free to join with me as I read. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thanks for listening. Please take some time to reflect on that. Thanks, Lewis.